Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I hope everybody is okay after a wild weekend of weather around the country. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 23rd, 2012, episode 321, sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, it is Monday morning. Oh, my gosh. What a weekend. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But it was a weekend of where I took my horse on Saturday morning to California, drove 6 hours, Glenn. We got out, schooled cross country, camped out in my new trailer, and then woke up, schooled cross country, and then drove 6 hours home. So it's a little bit insane. I realize that eventers are insane. Because there was people in Southern California.
I can't wait to hear how your new trailer worked out, too. I can't wait to hear about that.
I know, because you're excited because I technically camped. And as everyone knows, I just love camping. So we're going to talk about it.
That's your favorite thing to do. I'm picturing you just sort of half crunched over the microphone because your back hurts, because the mattress was awful and it was cold and. We'll find out.
We're going to get to that. And I am hunched over the microphone, and I am sore all over my entire body. But we'll get to that a little bit later, because right now I have to let everybody know what we named our new horse. If you recall.
Now, you got a bunch of suggestions from our listeners. You got a lot of them. There were like 40 of them, weren't there?
Yes, there were 40 of them or so on our Facebook page, more than that even. Lots of people just kind of chiming in. I ask everybody what they think we should name him. Just a kind of plain little chestnut thoroughbred, 4 years old with a star, and got some awesome names. So I just before, and I did pick one from the list, officially.
Okay. Oh, you did pick one from one of our listeners?
Yeah, I named my dog from the list of listeners' suggestions. Now I've named my horse from listeners' suggestions.
I don't even know what it is yet. She wouldn't tell me either. She wouldn't tell me.
I know. And I'm going to hear it from you and Jennifer, but I don't care. The honorable mentions go, first of all, to Robin Donaghy, because I absolutely adore the name Teddy the $50 Champion. Of course, it's, you know, Snowman, the $80 Champion is the book, and I paid less than he paid for Snowman. I paid $50 for this horse, so I did love Robin Donaghy. Thank you, Teddy, the $50 Champion. I actually had selected this name, but was shut down. Tom Rittenhouse, every good jet pilot needs a great wingman, and how awesome would wingman be? And that is still in the running for
that's
a show name because, that's really
like that
good.
Yeah.
I do too. I really like that one. I think that was my pick. But we've still got the show name to come, but I figure I've got a couple years before I need to come up with something.
Yeah, you can just give a little while.
to register with the USDA. So the third one, Bianca McCart wrote Johnny as in Johnny Bench. We love that name, Johnny Bench. What an awesome name. However, this girl that I know that I don't like anymore because she's like a total, beep. I don't can't stand her, and she hates me, and we hate each other, and her name's horse's name is Johnny.
Oh, but then you can't do that. That's not off the list.
No. No, it had to be off the list. However, that would have been a perfect name for this horse, too. So, Robin Donahue, Tom Rittenhouse, Bianca McCarr, you guys get the honorable mention. And the winner of naming my new horse goes to Barbara Evans. Barbara Evans.
Naming it Barbara Evans?
No, the horse's name is not Barbara Evans. But I didn't even think about that. No, Barbara Evans named him. And we had actually talked about this name on Friday as I was going through the list of Facebook names that everybody had mentioned. Well, Chad was sitting behind me, and as I was mentioning the names, he, while I was reading them off, said, that's it. He just heard it, and he knew it. And the name that he selected is Maddox. Maddox, because that was my favorite baseball player ever. And we have so many things that are named after the San Francisco Giants, his team. So he's like, you need to name one after the Braves. It's your favorite player. And I didn't know you when you used to have a horse named Maddox. So we get to start. We get to restart him. So, yes, Maddox is the horse's name, M-A-D-D-U-X, after Greg Maddox, Cy Young Award-winning, Golden Glove-winning, amazing, World Series-winning pitcher.
I like that name. That's kind of different. I like it. Was he a redhead?
No, he was not a redhead.
Okay.
But he was very smart, and they called him the professor. So that was his nickname. But, yeah, so that's his name. Thank you, Barbara Evans. Thank you guys all for your suggestions. And don't worry, in about a year and a half, I'll ask you for show names.
I really like Wingman, though. I do. We'll have to come up with something to add to Wingman. Show name has to be, like, three names long. Can't just be one word. It's be like three.
Really?
Names. Yeah, show names have to be, like, multiple words. That seems to be required.
Huh. I'll have to come up with something around Wingman, because I did love that name, too. Maybe I can
change
my, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I like Maddox, though, because it's different. You won't have any other Maddoxes in the barn.
Yeah, and speaking of different, I'm going to go over in just a minute here, as soon as we get through our daily winnies and Jennifer tells us what's on the show, I've got the 100 top horse names from last year, and we can run through it and see what made the list and what didn't make the list. We're going to do that after Jennifer tells us what's on today's show. Go, Jen.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, look out, because it's completely random news stories from around the world Monday. We've got tragedy in the UK, celebrity real estate in the American West, competition results from the center of the winter competitive world, that would be Wellington, Florida. So stay tuned for the biggest and best equestrian interweb sideshow that we call Horses in the Morning.
Thank you, Jennifer. Did you mention Reese was going to be here in spirit?
No.
Well, we're going to have Reese. Kaufler Stanfield is going to be joining us a little bit later in spirit. We actually have a recorded interview that Jennifer did with her. A little bit of training today. She's going to be talking about the trot and how to improve your trot. And that goes for whether you're a trail rider to a competitive rider. They had a great conversation. We'll be sharing that with you a little bit later in the show as well. So, daily Winnie time. All right, my daily Winnie is actually one of these. This is a, I don't know, I should have done that daily Winnie. I don't know if they could sing that happy birthday with an Australian accent, but this birthday greeting goes out to a listener, Janice Gorick from Australia. It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Down Under. Well, let me think about this. Actually, your birthday's almost over, because...
They're
ahead of us. I would have had to do it yesterday, I think, to be right. But happy birthday anyway, Janice. If I'm a day late, I'm sorry.
We've got another birthday. We've got another birthday.
Hey,
can you play the birthday thing?
Oh,
and it is a birthday for a horsey that's going to whinny like that someday. Right now, it's little Winnie's probably going to be more like, ee! Rachel Alexandra gave birth to a 125-pound colt by Curlin. Congratulations, Rachel Alexandra, the 2009 Horse of the Year. This is a little press release. Gave birth Sunday to a 120-pound colt by Curlin, who stands at Lanes End Farm. The bay colt. Now check this out. A couple things are weird. 2:40 p.m. What horse, besides a Horse of the Year, calls the shots and goes into labor in the middle of the day? Nobody.
We have never, and all the babies we've had over the years, which has been some, they've always been at 2 in the morning. Never at 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
2:40 p.m. That just goes to show you how different she is. She's not like any other mare. She's going to go, it's 2:40 in the afternoon. I want to get this over with by dinner. So she had her baby, and he did not come out. He did not take his first steps for another hour and a half. So he came out. He's like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to lay around for a little extra time. Got up an hour and a half later, and apparently he looks just like his mama. So congratulations to everybody at Stoner Street Farm and everybody at Lanes End Farm for the healthy baby born for Rachel Alexandra.
Jennifer's going to post a picture on Facebook of the baby and apparently has a white star and is cute and all. So we have a picture, too, that was taken that I got off of, the Pollock Report. And it was taken right after the baby was born. And it's so funny, the baby's got its legs going every different direction laying there and mom's saying hi. But the quality of the picture, you would think that a baby, you know, of this caliber, you got a multi-million dollar mama, a multi-million dollar papa. You would think they would not have a professional camera crew there to take a picture of the baby. Nope. It looks just like the baby pictures we take with our little phones with the overexposed, and you can barely see the both of them. I just was glad to see that they're just like the rest of us.
They are just absolutely just like, you know, it's like this, the section in People magazine where they're like, stars, they're just like us. And there's like, some celebrity, Angelina Jolie, is walking down the street with no makeup on, you know, and flip-flops, you know, or something. Oh, here's the Brad Pitt shopping over here in the, you know, Walmart. They're just like us. It's like the fancy racehorse baby people are just like us. They have cell phones to take pictures.
Oh, look at the picture on Facebook of the baby. I hadn't seen this one that Jennifer just posted.
Let me see here. Do. Oh my gosh, he's so cute.
Now look at his star. Doesn't it look like it's a spider?
It kind of does look like a spider. And what's odd is just Rachel Alexandra's blazing star is so unique. I was, when they said it looked just like her, I thought it was going to be one of those crooked blazes, but it doesn't really have that whole blaze thing that she had, but congratulations. Oh, it's so cute.
That's a star. It's cute.
I like the other one you posted better where it's reaching up and sniffing her nose. we'll put that one up later, too. But, yeah, so she had a baby. It's a good, you know, when you have a horse, it's probably worth, when it's born, $1.5 million, you know, at least. You've got to imagine that they would have some better photography in there.
Yes. That was my first thought when I saw the picture. It wasn't how cute the baby. It was like, boy, what a crappy picture.
What a cute baby. What a crappy picture.
So how'd you make out over the weekend? Tell me about it. First, how'd the trailer go? Did everything go okay? You got this brand new trailer with living quarters, nicer now, so you don't have to camp out in a tent anymore when you go away. We don't have to listen to you whine. So did that all go okay? Did the heat work? What did your husband enjoy the adventure?
Well, we get there, and of course the trailer's not new, but it's new to me, and that's what matters. I did get the comment, oh, sweet, you're not tent trash anymore. I was like, tent trash.
That must have been your coat.
Never heard that one before. So the trailer, sleeping in living quarters, it's just a small little 8-foot living quarters. Oh, my gosh, what a difference. I slept better than I did at home. We had the heat going. It got down to 38 degrees, but did I know that? No, because I was inside in my awesome trailer with the heat going. I even took a shower twice on my whole trip. It was fantastic. A shower, heat, refrigerator. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't have, like, the cooler that leaked the water all over the floor of my dressing room.
Why do those coolers always leak?
I don't know.
Everybody has that cooler that leaks.
It always leaks all over the place, and then the dogs jump in, and there's, like, muddy paws everywhere because the water, and then they get in your bed, and it's just a disaster. Well, it did not go that way. However, the drive, we ended up taking what was considered the shortcut from Phoenix to Galway Downs, which is in Temecula, and we accidentally took the mountain pass.
Oops.
And my husband, I literally thought he was going to divorce me because I was the one who was like, go this way. My GPS says go this way. Oh, my gosh. The worst drive with a brand new 30-foot trailer that you've never driven going through the mountain passes. We were so stressed out. He yelled at me a couple times, and he never yelled at me. So
this
when
is
we
a
got
fighter
there,
pilot. It must have been bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad. Like, we had to stop for half an hour because there was a car that flipped over. I mean, it was just, like, a horrible drive there. We were so tense. It was just,
was it
like,
one of those that you were driving along and the cliff is, like, 2,000 feet and it's right beside you and you're on the passenger side and the cliff is right there and you're going, please get over towards the middle a little bit, please? One of those?
Yeah, but there's a million other cars coming the other direction. You've got a million cars that are lined up behind you, and you're in a horse trailer that's wider than the lanes. It was a nightmare. So we did get through it. We got there, and it was funny because everybody was like, how'd your drive go? Everything go okay? And we're like frazzled and pale and angry. And they're like, oh, you took the mountain way, didn't you? Oh, we did that once. Every single person was like, we did that once. Nobody did it again. So we took the freeway on the way home. Maybe it was 30 miles longer, but my God, so much easier. So we get there, we're tense and frazzled, and I get there. This is to Galway Downs in Temecula, and it was Southern California. It's supposed to be beautiful. It was cold, and it was windy. I mean, really, really windy, and gusts of wind and rain. So not only is my horse stressed out from the drive, my husband's stressed out from the drive, I'm exhausted from the drive, too, and it's this kind of weather. So what are you going to do? I had my lesson at 2, so we had left at, like, 5 a.m. We got there around noon, and let him calm down a little bit, put him in the stall, go to get on him, and it was definitely stressful. Because the wind and the rain and the terrible day that he'd already had, he was so tense. Like, he was back to the way he was when I first got him, where I was that guy. And I was that guy again on this horse that is spinning and bucking and rearing. And I was not the only one because as we're walking down to the cross-country horse, not one, not two, but three loose horses came galloping back with their tack on going back to the barn.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I saw, like, 7 people come flying off. I heard air vests popping like popcorn all over the place. It was crazy. Everybody fell off all over the place. It was just that kind of weather, and there was a million horses. People came all the way from Wyoming to school at this thing. So, I mean, we're talking just hundreds and hundreds of horses all over this course. It was so stressful. My horse, you know, once we finally got Jet calmed down enough to go out there and start jumping, I was a mess. And at this point, I'm gripping to my saddle so hard that my inner thigh muscles are cramping. And I haven't even started my ride yet. My shoulders, my neck, my arms, everything is totally cramped. Plus I'm cold, plus my horse is acting like a nut. So the first half was not the most fine jumping performance that I've ever done. It was more like jump and buck and hold on for dear life and try to pull him up and try to get him around. And we used a new bit and blah, blah, blah. It was pretty intense. The second half went a lot better. Once we finally relaxed and once he got a little bit tired and I got a little bit tired. So I sent Jennifer a couple pictures from the schooling and it ended up being very, very good. We kept it nice and easy the first day. And plus I was in so much pain. So went, camped out, had a blast, went to the dinner, met Robert Kellerhaus, who owns the whole place. Super nice guy. Really, really fun. Everybody at the dinner was talking about, you know, their war wounds and how many people fell off and where the horses were running around. It was just one of those like, if a dressage person were to be at that place, they would be like, eventers are the stupidest, craziest people I've ever seen. I'm never, you know, because I kind of got a bad rap anyway. And it was just mass chaos. Come Sunday morning, really nice. The weather was a lot better. The horses were a lot more calm. However, I barely could move. My legs were so sore from cramping up the day before, my neck and shoulders and my arms. So before even getting out of bed, I was like, Advil, what's the maximum dosage? 800 milligrams. Boom. I took them and then got up and went around, and my ride was pretty early, and the weather was so much better, and actually had an amazing time and an amazing ride. Got to do a lot of training level, schooling, school of water, ditches, I mean, every single thing. Then I did a whole course dodging people and horses because there's still a billion people there, and it went really well. My horse was awesome. Right up till the end. I mean, he came out, he was more relaxed, I was more relaxed, we went out and we're a lot more focused. I'm still incredibly sore. I am hunched over this microphone because my neck and back hurt. I never fell off, knock on wood, I never fell off in the whole weekend. I was one of the only ones who didn't pop my air vest. And
you were wearing it though, right? I think that's in your contract.
Yeah, it is. The helmet, the air vest, the Charles Owen vest, you know, I was freezing to death and then sweaty the next day. I wore it all really well, and then my horse, when we went to load, was like, no
I'm not going back over that mountain pass again. You guys are scaring me to death. No way in hell I'm getting in that trailer.
I couldn't blame him, you know. And of course, Chad's football game, he's a San Francisco 49ers fan, and he wants to get home and watch the game. And we have, like, the freeway-wise, we have about a six-hour drive ahead of us. And Jet was like, not having it. He reverted back to the horse that I had when I first got him, and he would not load in a trailer to save his life. 40 minutes of begging. And if you get mad at him, he just shuts down. So you just have to keep being nice. And I've got you some food, baby. You want a peppermint? Here's some candy. Oh, I got grain. You know, you just have to be, like, super positive and nice. 40 minutes later, he finally gets in, and my husband has had it. I mean, he has had
it. So pretty much Chad was upset on the way there and upset on the way home.
Yeah, and he was cussing AM radio because he could hear it for like 5 minutes, and then it was shut out, and then I'm just hitting seek the whole time. So I listened to fuzzy radio, and he was mad. Once we got there, until we left, he was awesome. But once, when we were driving there and we were driving back, let's just say that I told him, he was like, you did so good on course. I'm sorry, I'm so stressed. And I was like, you know what? You're sucking the fun out of all of this right now. You're sucking the fun out of it.
I've been there. I've been him. Jennifer will attest to the fact that I've been him on this trip.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, every horse husband has. Are you kidding? This is our life right there.
I was seriously like, that was apparently not the right thing to say.
Oh, that'd be kind of the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, it was kind of bad. So it was, but all in all, aside from the fact we got home and, you know, I sat him down. He got to watch the last like 10 minutes of his game because thank God it went into overtime. I give him a beer and I'm like, just do this. I'll unload the horse. And I get out there. And of course, Jet was in a huge hurry to get off the trailer. It was a little bit of a nightmare. I got everything done, came back in. He's like, I'm such a jerk. I didn't help you. I was like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. I'm just leaving. And then, of course, his team loses the game. Poor guy just had a really bad day. He just had a really bad day. It was awful.
You're supposed to make this fun and enjoyable for the poor guy to want to go to the shows with you.
I know. And the thing is, he's talking about, well, okay, maybe I can come to the competition in 2 weeks because this was just the schooling. I was like, oh, God, please, no.
Please no. Please no. Please no.
Leave him home, Jamie. Leave him home.
Well, he was going to stay home, and then one of the other husbands was like, I'm not driving up till Friday night. I can swing by and pick you up. And he's like, oh, maybe that would work. And I'm like going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, please, please, please. I hope he doesn't go back and listen to this show. He's still sleeping. Terrible. I love my husband. He's awesome, and I was so glad he came, and he took some awesome pictures. But, yeah, it was a little stressful. He was a good sport, though.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been there. I have been that person. I have been that horse husband. You do learn after about 1,000 shows what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and what you should say, and what you shouldn't say, and where you should stand, and where you shouldn't stand. Because every one of those things causes an eruption at some point or another in the show, and you get that comment. You're sucking the fun out of all of this. And it's like, and as the horse husband, you're standing here thinking, this wasn't fun to begin with. This hasn't been fun since we left the house. So that's what we're thinking as the horse husband. But we can't say that because that just gets us in more trouble.
There's one point we're just going cross country, and you're right, because like, you're standing in the wrong place, you're doing the wrong thing. Oh, poor guy. I'm feeling worse now that you're talking to me, because he got on his mountain bike. And just to watch, he went up to the top of this, like, 3-star jump and was watching. And then he rode down the side of the bank, and there was leaves all on the side of it. And he crunched through all the leaves, and every one of our horses just erupted. And he's like, sorry, sorry, sorry. I'm like, baby, you can't do that.
The other competitors are going to banish him, much less you.
Oh, man, it was, like, crazy. Poor guy. I felt so terrible for him. So now I feel like a
big jerk. Been quieter if he had flown his jet over.
Well, it caused less of a problem. Oh, my God, I feel like a jerk now. Poor, you're exactly right. He probably felt so out of place and just so in the way. And that's it. I'm leaving the show. I got to go make up to him. We kind of really didn't talk before bed last night. I kind of just went to bed.
Now, Jamie, I have a question for you, though. Because normally you have a great sense of humor. You're a good laugh. You're great to hang out with. Do you completely lose your sense of humor the minute you get your horse trailer hitched up?
Okay, I can answer that. Because if you look at the one picture that Jennifer posted of Jamie jumping, it's the second picture she posted, where it says, looks pretty happy here. Okay. The horse may look happy. Jamie doesn't look so happy in that picture. Look at that face. That's rigid determination.
This is day one, Glenn, when it was windy and raining. I had to brighten up the photo so you could see it, okay, because it was really dark out there. And, I was a little bit tense. Jennifer, I can't say the answer. I can't answer your question. I do.
Should we ask your husband that question?
Yeah, no, I'll give you the answer. I totally lose all sense of humor. It is not funny anymore. Trailering is a dangerous game. Horse hauling is a dangerous game, and I don't think that anything's funny. Does that answer your question?
In other words, she's...
Yeah. Are you the same way as me, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. If I have to... Well, I'm not so bad now, but in the day when I was competing and dragging students around, smiling was not permitted. Everybody knows to the grindstone and get it done. Yeah. I wasn't pleasant. No.
And you wonder why we so thoroughly so enjoy going to shows with you. All right, we're gonna learn a little bit about the trot here coming up in just a minute. But first we have to talk about our sponsor for this half hour. Our sponsor is Omega Alpha, and Jessica Phoenix has a little bit to say about Omega Alpha.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably. And I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Well, thank you, Omega Alpha. We appreciate you being part of Horses in the Morning. We're actually going to get to have dinner with Dr. Chang this Friday night in Philadelphia. We're looking forward to seeing Patty and Dr. Chang up there and hanging out with them for a little bit. Before we get to, we're going to have coming up here, Reese Koffler-Stanfield did a recording with Jennifer for the Horse Tip Daily Show that we wanted to share with everybody today because it was on the trot and it was a very good 13 minutes that I think you'll enjoy, a little training here this morning. But first, Alan Moorhead of the Western Radio Show is calling in to talk to Jamie about her weekend. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, Jamie, have you ever heard just yes and I don't know after you had a competition run?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is my advice to horse husbands and horse boyfriends everywhere, whether she's a barrel racer, whether she's a jumper, whether she's a dressage girl, cutter, whatever. The first thing you do when you see your girlfriend, your wife, after her run is, yes, I don't know, because she's going to ask, did you see my run? Yes. Whether you saw it or not, you got to don't admit you didn't see it. That's bad. And then she's going to say, well, what did I do wrong? Don't say what she did wrong. Just say, I don't know, because if you go telling her what she did wrong, well, here's the range. You just go do it. You think it's
a man
easy?
Who has been through this.
Yes, and I don't know. Standard answer. Saves trouble.
Good call.
Exactly right.
I like it.
Your wife
like
is a barrel racer, isn't she?
Yes, sir. That's how I learned.
You probably see it all the time, too. You're announcing at all these shows. You probably see that exit gate. You probably see this stuff happening all the time with the poor horse husband.
Yeah, and I mean, it even gets into friends. They'll come up and ask you afterwards, you know, what did you think of my run? What did you think of my new horse? And you don't know whether to be honest or you know they want to know to make them better and that kind of a thing. But holy cow, when friends can take it a whole lot better than your spouse can.
<That's true.
laughs> especially when as the horse husband and the old semi-trainer, you kind of maybe broke the horse and got him started and have him doing some things and that kind of thing. And well, if you think it that easy, and if you didn't have her so light, I can't remember the last time we went to a show and a horse wouldn't get back on the trailer. We have ours broke when they leave the house.
Well, you know what, Alan, you can come over here and you can teach him how to get in the trailer, because if you think you know how to do it, you just come on over here, because I'm not going to sit here and listen to this crap talking to you when I'm trying to get the horse in the trailer for 45 minutes and sitting there, blah, blah, blah. Is that better? Is that what you want to hear?
Yes, dear. I don't know. Yes, I don't know.
Thank you, Alan. We'll see you.
Bye. Oh, my God. He just sets me off. He just picks and picks and picks until I just snap. I can't take it.
Reese Koffler-Stanfield and Jennifer on how to improve the trot from the Horse Tip Daily Show. Enjoy. We'll be back in a few minutes.
And Reese Koffler-Stanfield,
I'm gonna go hug my husband
today to solve all of our ills.
No, sorry. I would love to.
Pressure.
I know.
Actually, I think today we are going to be talking about troublesome trots, and I'm going to take notes on this one because Beaker does have a troublesome trot from my point of view. He thinks his trot's just lovely. It's the same trot he's been using for 15 years.
Yeah.
But it could be a little better. But there's room for improvement, so I'm going to perk my ears and get out my pen for this. So what have you got for us to improve those troublesome trots?
Well, I think one of the things that is a huge no-no is when people trot around and around and around and around, and they keep trotting, and so their horse becomes fitter, but their trot gets worse.
Ooh.
Big problem, especially in my business when I coach eventers. I coach a lot of eventers. So
you have rather high-energy horses.
Yes, and thoroughbreds, being in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, lots a lot of those.
Thoroughbreds, and I love thoroughbreds. And
But they don't often come with fantastic trots.
They don't. But remember, whenever you want to find a horse, you want a really good walk and a really good canter.
because we can improve the trot.
Ah, so
yes.
If you've got a gait that, is it that it's easier to improve trots or more difficult to improve walks?
Oh, walks are tough. That's a whole other tip.
The walk is a very, very difficult to...
It is the hardest gait to fix. And a canter, you know, you can do more with a canter than you can the walk. But really, at the end of the day, the walk that the horse has and the canter that they have is pretty much it.
This doesn't bode well.
Oh, that's not good.
He has a fantastic walk.
Yes. He maybe just needs some balance and strength in the canter.
Having not seen Beaker, there is hope. No, actually, Beaker is lovely. Beaker has spent many, many years being a tool around the National Forest trail horse.
Nice.
And so he just carried his body wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter.
But the canter, he probably didn't canter very much.
Well, he didn't canter. He gallops.
Yes.
Boy, can he go fast.
Yeah.
Such a teeny-weeny horse.
Yeah.
With his neck like a giraffe.
Yeah.
It's amazing how fast a horse can go with his neck.
That's just not comfortable.
It's not comfortable at all. It's effective.
Right.
I can keep up with the master of foxhounds just fine.
Yes.
But it lacks comfort, and it makes jumping a little difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So with Beaker, we'd want to work on more of the three-beat canter and with balance. But I would have a feeling that a trot would also be kind of troublesome.
It is.
But yeah, and that's okay. Trots are okay. We can
so
work on
that. Don't go round and round and round
don't
without
go round
even
and
thinking about it.
Right, because number one, that doesn't increase strength of the horse's back at all, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're round and round in an arena.
Mm-hmm.
If a horse has a troublesome trot, I have a wonderful horse that is in training with me, and she is a Friesian walking horse, and I love her. But trotting of those two breeds is the most difficult. So what I started with her is when she came in for training, she's not very fit, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So she went and walked a bunch of hills, walking on contact, being round in the frame,
mm-hmm.
and having to push from behind because she needed strength behind.
So she didn't slog up and down the hills.
Right.
She walked.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
For the first 2 weeks, it was 10 minutes, and then we got to 12 minutes, and then we got to 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of hard work for them to push up the hill. So we started with that. And then in the arena work, I was very cognizant of I wanted to have more power and a bigger stride. Those were my plans.
Got it.
Okay, and again, with the trot, you have to see if you have kind of that thoroughbred, short, choppy trot,
mm-hmm.
you want to do everything you can that when you trot, you are not in the short, choppy trots.
Got it.
Okay, and don't do it for hours because it won't improve. It'll only get worse. So, again, with my mare, we had a very clear plan. Okay, we're going to walk up hills, and when we come in the ring, when she trots, she is going to trot with power. And that was big. So I was always cognizant to the fact that when she lost her big trot and she start her kind of shuffle, that we would do a transition, okay, to walk. Then a turn on the forehand, which is an excellent exercise. Turn on the forehand should be an exercise that every horse does. All my adventures do it, and all my dressage horses do it. And the turn on the forehand is where you flex the horse to the inside, put your inside leg on, and you're going to push the haunches around the front end.
So the front end is the center of the clock, and their fanny is the outside ends of the little hands going around the clock.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Right. And so what that does is it increases lateral flexion, brings that inside hind leg more under,
mm-hmm.
and the horse has to bend in their rib cage. And then I would do a transition to trot, and I would hopefully be able to trot a circle with her in a big trot with activity, swing in her back, and then I would do a transition. And then I would do that again. Now, if your horse doesn't know how to do a turn on the forehand, I would start with teaching that horse a turn on the forehand. And that is a pretty basic exercise for a dressage horse. It also encompasses leg yielding.
Mm-hmm.
I want my horse to yield off my leg. And I think in pretty much every discipline, there's some sort of...
Move
away from leg. It's a pretty basic technique. I have a couple rules. My horses have to go forward off my leg, my horses have to stop off my leg, and my horse has to move away from my leg. Those are sort of my basic.
Boy, geez, you're tough.
I know, I'm so tough. But, you know, it's all about control, and that's really what dressage is, and you can put those different kind of rules
mm-hmm.
on any discipline, really. So having the horse yield, being able to move away from the leg slightly, get that inside hind leg more under, get a little bit more bend in the rib cage, will help the trot. So I would, let's say, start in the walk, and I would do my little leg yield, or a little push away, push the horse out of the circle, and then to do a transition to trot, trying to keep that same feeling the horse is bending around my leg. And then when I lost the power, I would come back, do a transition, and yield again.
So you're trying to get, when you're going from walk to trot,
yep.
You go from a good quality walk
right.
to a good quality transition
correct.
To a good quality trot.
Right.
Versus a very common scenario, which is good quality walk, crappy transition, crappier trot.
Right.
So if the transition creates a horse that is in a shape
yes.
that he's familiar with and therefore creates a bad trot.
Right.
So I guess the lesson yeah. here is if you can't get from walk to trot in a good balanced shape,
right.
then you don't need to be trotting for 45 minutes.
Correct.
You need to go from walk to trot and walk to trot and walk to trot
right.
until you can get the transition right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So transitions are key.
Right.
Now, I've seen this technique a lot with different riders and in different disciplines. You have a horse that's got an okay trot, and you're getting the transition pretty well. But you go and you get, okay, nice walk, pretty nice transition, pretty nice trot. Oh, we're losing the trot a little bit. Can you also do that same process of transition from working trot to medium trot? In other words, middle of the road trot to really, really big trot and then back to middle of the road trot again.
Absolutely.
Doesn't that work the same groups of mental muscles?
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, in transitions are your key. And that what you're talking about is a transition within the gate. And those are perfect. They are wonderful. And it's another way to get that trot better. I would always say, I would caution that when you want your horse to move forward from your leg and transition into a bigger trot, let's say it's a working trot to a medium trot, when that occurs, or it would be a lengthening in the lower levels of dressage, when that occurs, you want to make sure that the horse doesn't get faster. That happens a lot. Again, you're preparing, and it's a transition, so that has to from working trot to a lengthening, you have to prepare that transition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's critical. So if the horse just starts to run, that gives you another thing to fix because that's going to also lead to
more stress.
Such a good – yeah, more stress. More stress.
Will occur.
I know, more stress. So again, you want to – I'm not a fan of going around and around. If I can't get the working to lengthening, then I would go from working just a little bit more, maybe not all the way to a lengthening, so that I'm working toward that next step of my trot.
Right. So if you're working with a horse that isn't going to be a dressage horse for a living and a rider who isn't going to be a dressage rider
right.
for a living, you would go from the trot that Mother Nature gave them.
Right.
You can go from Mother Nature's walk to Mother Nature's trot pretty well.
Sure.
Then you can go from Mother Nature's trot to, hello, we're trotting home on the trail.
Right.
We're really moving along here in a relaxed fashion. My head's not going in the sky like a giraffe.
Yep.
So he's still balanced. He's carrying himself in that normal frame.
Yep.
And then you can say ho-ho a little bit back to Mother Nature's trot.
Yep.
But again, you're going to be recognizing it as a good quality because the horse will continue to carry himself in that normal frame. The head and neck don't go flying up or going down to the ground.
Absolutely.
He doesn't start tripping over his own toes.
Right.
So that's an exercise that you can apply to any horse.
Right.
To do those transitions within a gait. That's a really handy thing to do for example, for Beaker and I.
Yeah.
We don't compete anymore. I don't compete anymore. He never did.
Sure.
Very, very handy to send him forward in his trot and go,
haul
an ass here, dude. Excuse
go.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay, now slow down a little bit. And that's
sure.
a very difficult transition for him, by the way, because he doesn't have a slow down.
Right. He wants to go.
No, he has a stop.
Oh, he has a stop. Yes.
Every gate. Every gate is walk stop, trot stop, canter stop, run stop.
Yeah.
He's got brakes like you wouldn't believe. And it's been a real struggle. I've had him for more than a year to get him to go from canter to trot.
Right.
He couldn't do it. He went from canter to stop.
To stop. Yeah, and that's normal. I mean, that's normal.
You know, his back wasn't relaxed.
Yeah, he wasn't able to do it.
He wasn't able to do it. So a downward transition whether within a gate,
mm-hmm.
forward gate
yep.
to slightly slower gate,
yep.
or between gates,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that relaxed, normal shape for your horse. If your horse
right.
is naturally high-necked,
yep.
maybe he's a saddlebred type breed or a
mm-hmm.
Frisian type breed,
mm-hmm.
his normal relaxed carriage is going to be different than
right.
Thunder the Thoroughbred.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be cognizant of what's normal and comfortable
right.
for your horse
yeah.
and ask him to maintain that through those transitions.
Right, exactly.
To help his trot.
You got it. And it helps his balance and his strength and, you know, again, his ability to carry with his back muscles. Those will all do that.
And if he's better at it, he's going to be more comfortable. He's not going to get sore as often, right?
You got it. That's right.
Because if his back's tight at the trot, no matter how long he trots, you're more likely to cause a sore back, yes?
Absolutely. I just think of it, you know, like when I work out and my back gets sore. You know, sometimes I, you know, the longer I work out, the more sore I get, the less likely I am to go to the gym or be happy about going to the gym the next day. Same thing with horses.
So trotting for long periods of time in a bad quality gait.
Right.
And this applies to walking canter as well.
Absolutely.
Not doing yourself any favors.
No.
Or your horse.
No, actually, negative effects.
Negative effects. So use the lateral work.
Lateral
moving
work.
Left and right,
right.
at the gate
yep.
to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's side passes if you're doing Western things or leg yields if you're doing English things.
Yes.
Again, you're going to maintain a soft, relaxed shape of your horse's body while you do that lateral work.
Yes.
That's going to help your trot.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing transitions from walk to trot,
mm-hmm.
canter to trot, walk to trot.
Absolutely.
Transitions are helping.
Oh, big time.
And then transitions within the trot are going to help. So that's
right.
three tips in one.
Yay.
So we had three little tiplets to make up a triumvirate of tips.
Exactly.
Cool. Signing off.
Good luck.
And that was Reese Kossler-Stanfield and, of course, Coach Jen. That was from the Horse Tip Daily Show. You can find all of those tips, almost 600 of them now, over on horsetipdaily.com or horseradionetwork.com, either one. And if you want to find Reese, of course, she does our cooking segments here, but she's also a very good trainer. And if you want to find out more about Reese, you can go to maplecrestfarm.com. Well, we're back here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is over there producing today. And we have a lot of news coming up for you here in a little bit. But first, you know, you promised us that you would tell us what the most favorite horse names were this past year, right?
Yes, yes. Now, Smart Pack did a list of the top 100 horse names of last year, because when you order a Smart Pack for your horse, it comes with a drawer of its own, and they have, like, your horse's name and on all the supplements, so it never gets confused. So they have a really good idea of how many people use, you know, the same names repeatedly. So I would love to know, do you have a guess on what the number one horse name of 2011 was? Glenn Jennifer.
Well, I would think that if I was going to take a guess, you know, if it's draft horses, it's Bob. Bob has to be the number one name in draft horses.
Not going with draft horses here. Not going with draft horses.
So Bob's not on the list?
Bob is, I don't see Bob anywhere on the list at all.
How about? If you're talking Western Cowboy, they seem to name their horses Cowboy a lot.
Let me see. Cowboy is number 39 on the list
Woo-hoo!
Of 100.
Oh.
Jennifer, you got a guess?
I'm going to go with Winchester.
Winchester?
Winchester? I don't think Winchester made the list. Sorry, Jen.
Okay, I'm going to think of more draft horse names because one of them's got to be on there. We had one called Joe. Joe's always a common name. Joe.
Let's see if Joe is on the list. The answer on the board, ding, 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 number 50, Joe.
Glenn 2, yeah. Jennifer Zip.
Jennifer, yes? Anybody?
I'm going to go Bailey. We have a Bailey at the barn.
Ding, 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 ding. Bailey is number 11, the 11 most common name. So you're actually winning the highest guess so far.
Oh, do I get more points if they're further up the list?
Sure, why not?
Dang.
I'm making this up.
This is better than Words with Friends.
about, I'm thinking, what other horse names do we have at the barn, Jennifer? I'm trying to think of the other horse names.
I'm not giving you any hints.
How about, oh, we had a horse named, did I do that one already? Danny. Did I do Danny yet? There was a horse in our barn named Danny.
Let's see if Danny, ding, 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 number 49. You're hovering around the 50 mark every time.
I'm really
number 49.
In the middle here today. Really in the middle.
Jennifer?
Let's see here. Let's go with Ariel.
Ariel, like the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
That you think is one of the most common horse names.
Well, people tend to name their horses after movie characters. So, yeah, Ariel.
Okay, well, I don't see Ariel on the list.
So much for that theory.
Hey, Laura Gorman checks in with Blue. Her guess is Blue.
Laura Gorman is in the lead because Blue is number 8. Number 8 on the list, Blue.
Wow, anybody good job,
else?
Laura. And, yeah, Susan Nelson's checking in with Buck.
No,
which is a good guess
Buck.
During the last
That's a really good guess. Let me see if Buck has made the list. I'm scrolling through the names right now. It's kind of hard to sit here and talk and look at the same time. I don't want to screw this up because she'll yell at me if it's not on the list. So I'm scrolling through twice. And sadly enough, I do not see Buck on the list at all.
Well, you know what has to be on the list? Another draft horse named Duke and Western, common Western name Duke. It's like John Wayne, the Duke.
Let's see. Duke. Duke is on the list at number 78. Number 78.
Oh, I'm getting worse.
Yeah.
All right, tell us what the top 20 are here. Let's get the top 20.
Okay, number 20, Romeo. Number 20 is Romeo. Number 19,
really?
I cannot believe
Romeo?
Nobody would.
I've never met a horse named Romeo.
I have. I've known like 10. number 19, how could you not guess Lucky? Lucky. How many people have a horse named Lucky? Number 18, Red. That's like the most common name for a chestnut.
Yeah,
number 17.
That's true.
Have you ever owned a horse of this name? Then definitely say it because I had a horse named Rosie. Number 17 is Rosie. 16,
a great.
Say what, Jen?
We have a Rosie at the barn. I should have guessed that one.
Yeah, and number 16 is a great draft horse named Glenn Jake.
Oh, yeah, we had a dog named Jake.
There you go. Number 15, Teddy.
Oh, I should have guessed that. Theodore, yeah.
Teddy O'Connor. Love him. Yep. Miss him. Number 14, Charlie. Another draft horse named
Charlie's out there? Really?
Number 14 is Charlie. Number 13, Annie.
Yeah.
Never had an Annie.
Had an Annie,
You had an Annie.
Number 12 is funny because my student, when I was trying to name the horses, she's like, you know, she's 15. She's like, I've always wanted to name a horse Starfire. Can we name him Starfire? And I was like, no. But number 12 is Star.
Star, I should have thought of that. There's a lot of kids named their pony Star.
Yeah. Number 11, Bailey. Very common. Very common. Yeah. Number 10 is named Sunny. Every pal we know has been named Sunny. Number 9, Cody.
I can see that. A lot of Western Cody.
Yeah.
Number 8, of course, we're going over the names from Smart Pack of the most popular horse names, the top 100. We're doing the top 20. Number 8 right now is Blue.
Yep, okay.
Number 7, Beau, B-E-A-U.
Oh, no, there you go.
Okay.
Number 6, everybody has a horse name that has had a horse named Chance.
I don't think we've ever had a Chance.
My friend Lonnie's horse was named Chance. That's all I know it. Number 5, I've had a cat and a dog named Max.
Max, also another draft horse name.
Yep. Number 4 comes in with Rocky. Rocky is number 4. Yep.
I
mean, that's
that.
pretty I think that one's pretty common, but more for a dog or something. Number three, very common name now for females, Bella.
Oh, I think Bella made it to the top 10 dog names on that list we did last year too.
I think so. Yeah. Number two, most common horse name according to Smart Pack is Jack.
Oh, there's the most popular. Why didn't I say Jack? Every donkey or every mule in the world is named Jack.
Yeah, and you're going to kick yourself for not thinking of the number one answer. Although Susan Nelson commented again, she has another one, Eli Manning. Eli Manning. And that's not very popular in my household right now, as my husband sits next to me, rolling his eyes. Hate Eli Manning. the number one most popular horse name, sponsored by Smart Pack Horses, Buddy. B-U-D-D-Y, Buddy. How could you not guess Buddy?
Nuh-uh.
I would have guessed that for dogs, not horses. Everybody, well, our good friend has a dog named Buddy, but I don't, have we ever had a Buddy that was a horse?
I've never met a horse named Buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, all you Buddy owners out there, speak up. Let's hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hear from people who named their horses Buddy, because do you know any Buddies?
I can't say that I've ever had a horse named Buddy, but apparently the people at Smart Pack Equine, apparently lots of people with horses named Buddy need supplements, so maybe they're all old.
So does this mean horses with these names are the most unhealthy horses? Is that what this means? Or they're the healthiest horses because they're taking Smart Pack supplements?
You may be right. You may be right because, you know, horses with the name Misty and the name Henry, they just sound old. Winston, these are all on the list here. So,
you know, I'm surprised how many of them are regular human names. I always made an effort to not name my horses human names, but apparently I'm very much in the minority.
Is Maddox on there?
yeah, Maddox did not make the list. These are really kind of plain, boring horse names, if you think about it. Rose, Abby, Willie, Andy, Rusty, Grace, Holly, Fred, Willow, Sadie, Scooter, Spirit, Simon, Fair, you know.
Scooter. I like Scooter.
Do you like the name Scooter?
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Let's,
well,
that was good. That was good. I like that. That was good.
Okay.
So, so I wonder, is this published someplace that we can put a link to it?
Yeah, I will go ahead and send Jennifer the link right now. But I'd be interested to see what everybody thinks about the number one horse name being Buddy. Now you got me mad about it.
Oh, I just don't know any Buddies. You know, I knew a Jack. We've known Maxes. We've known Blues and Codys and Reds and Jakes, Rosies, but no Buddies. Yeah.
Well, that's the number one horse name. Yeah, I'll send Jennifer the link.
And if my theory is correct, you never want to name your horse Buddy because he's going to be the most sickly creature you've ever had in your life. Just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a new song. I got a new song for you today. This is from that we have not heard before here on the show. And this is from Patty Hall. And Patty is a friend of Templeton Thompson's from out there in the West Coast. Her website address is pattyhall.com. And the name of the song is Long Ride Home. So enjoy this. And when we come back, it's time for the Weekend Roundup.
Long black limousine, shiniest sky I've ever seen. Back seat is nice and clean. She rides as quiet as a dream. Someone dug a hole 6 long feet in the ground. I said goodbye to you and I threw my roses down. Ain't nothing left at all in the end of being proud with me riding in this car and you flying through them clouds. I've had some time to think about. the sun sinks like a storm. I've had some time to think about you.
That is Patty Hall, Long Ride Home. You can find all of her music, as I said, at pattyhall.com. Today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific products at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. Our the Horse Radio Network Highlight Show, I talked a little bit about it last week, and I have to bring it up again this week because, we've been getting some, this is probably the in all of the 1,800 episodes we've done on the Horse Radio Network, this particular episode is causing the most stir of anyone we've ever done. And it was the Stable Scoop Show from last week where we talked about the carriage horse industry in New York. And we had the person on who wants to basically get rid of the horses in New York. And Helena is sort of in favor of that. And I'm against getting rid of the carriage horses in New York. Well, did they come out of the woodwork? And I just wanted to tell everybody we are having the other side on the Stable Scoop Show this week. So this Friday, you will hear the other side of the story from the Carriage Association folks, and they're going to rebut a lot of the things that were said on the show last week. And, you know, I am not a believer. I don't know about you, Jamie, but I hate the news talking head shows where they put the Democrat and the Republican in there and they fight it out for 10 minutes just yelling and screaming at each other. I said we would never do that on the Horse Radio Network, and we don't do it on the Horse Radio Network. So we had one opinion last week. We're going to have the other opinion next week, or this week. So take a look for the other side of the story. If you're one of those people that were like screaming and yelling at us, why didn't we present both sides of the story? Well, I think I did. I was pretty much against everything they were saying, so I was pretty much on your side of the story anyway. And I know, Jamie, you kind of feel that the carriage horses should go. Let me tell you, Helena and you are the only two horse people in America who believe that. So,
really? We're the only people that think carriage
horses
should go.
Well, the only ones I've heard from, let me tell you.
Well,
the only ones I've heard of.
That's because they were under attack. And then so they feel, you know, don't bring me into this. I don't even want to talk about it. You don't.
Okay.
You just carry on. But I think you my opinion. New York City, not a great place for big draft horses. Go ahead.
carry on.
Well, we'll hear the other side of the story this week. So everybody that was upset about that, rest assured, the other side is coming. And now you're going to tell us a little bit about Pocket Stable, and then we're going to talk about the news.
Yes, Pocket Stable is an iPhone app that will really, really help you out. Go ahead and download it. You can find it in your app store. You can find it, in PocketStable.com. Pocket Stable, you can keep track of all of your horse's information, including shots, deworming, farrier visits. Just yesterday, I looked through to find out when Jet was due because he's got to get drilled and tapped for his studs. And I thought, okay, we can totally fit that in because it'll be about time for him to be due coming up this next week before the competition. So worked out great for me. Go ahead, download Pocket Stable. It's $3.99, and it will save you a whole lot of headaches trying to find receipts and all that kind of crap. So PocketStable.com, find it in your app store. Just search Pocket Stable.
Now, can you put more, like you got Maddox now. Can you add Maddox in there? You can put more than one horse, right?
Yes, I have unlimited horses. I don't know how many you can actually put in, but I have probably 9 because I've saved the other horses that I've had. I've saved their information in case the people that I found homes for them call back and need the information. So I'm sure there's a limit, but I've got 6, 7, 8 in my thing right now. So we'll see.
All right, cool. All right, it's time. Oops, it's time.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Okay, it's time for the weekend roundup, where Jamie and I go over all the equine news stories that we found interesting over the weekend. And I want to ask you a question, Jamie. Do you want to start with the fun news stories from the weekend or the very sad news stories from the weekend? Your choice.
I guess get the sad ones over with so that we can end on a good note.
Okay. Well, there was a massive barn fire, and I'm sure that anybody that reads Equine News has read about this in New Jersey over the weekend. It was a place that was well known for having, it was an older couple, actually. They were 77 and 73 years old, Art Hahn. And the sad news out of this, it was a large barn called Heritage Acres. It was a 40-acre farm, had jumpers and dressage horses, all very valuable horses, actually, and 22 show horses died in that fire. By the time the neighbors showed up at the these people's house and started beating on the door and they got outside, the barn was completely engulfed. And apparently the fire department got there fairly quickly. There was just nothing they could do. The roof caved in and the horses were lost. So that's a very sad story out of New Jersey. Boy, we said it last week, and I'll say it again. You make sure you have fire plans for your barn. Make sure you go over your fire plans for your barn. Not saying it's going to help save all your horses, but, you know, just making the plans and having the smoke detectors and things we talked about on the shows might just do that. So.
Well, that's a sad story, very, very sad story, but I've got a good news story about a fire as well. There was a huge fire that burned 3,177 acres in Washoe County, Nevada, and over 100 horses were successfully evacuated from the path of this blaze that destroyed 26 homes. There were a lot of casualties in animals and everything, but they set up at the Summit Shopping Center. They operated a staging area. Talk about, like, having a plan and acting on it. 12 different people volunteered their horse trailers. They met up at the staging area with animal control, horse owners, and they went in and evacuated animals, like just putting them in trailers and zipping them in and out. And these were all specially trained volunteers from the sheriff's office, so animal control officers that were specialized in fire safety and rescue. Smaller pets were taken for rescue down at the high school. So this is a community that really came together and had a plan for the animals in the area because they're like their family, you know. I mean, you wouldn't just leave your family behind in a fire. So these people moved in. They apparently, the fire moved so fast this past week that they just kind of swooped in and caught everybody surprised by surprise. The blaze was contained at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. They saved over 800 homes. The fire department and all the horses that were saved, over 100. So round of applause to Washoe County, Nevada, and everybody that jumped in, Sheriff Mike Haley and all the guys that were completely part of this animal rescue and the houses that they saved. Congratulations.
Well, you know, talk about plans. We talk about a fire plan. The other kind of plan you need is an estate plan. I used to work with, as a profession, I used to work with farmers who were developing estate plans, so when they died, it could turn those large pieces of property over without much family hassle to their kids. And, you know, at that point in the time, the families all get along. Everybody's saying, and I cannot tell you how many older farmers that I had say to me, well, my kids all get along great. They're never going to feud when I die. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Happens every time. Well, it's happening to a harness racing dynasty, out of New Jersey. And this guy's name was Joseph Parisi, who basically, you know, had tons of winners in the harness racing world. And he has a 400, get this, Jamie, 400 acres New Jersey farm, White Birch Farms. 400 acres in New Jersey has to be worth a pretty penny. And it's
pretty, oh my gosh, I've
seen pictures of it, yeah. Well, he sort of did this deal with his son that he was going to turn the farm over to him because his son started working at the barn, shoveling stalls when he was a kid, and has basically grown up with the farm all through those years. So dad said, well, I'm going to turn the farm over to him. Well, the daughter, who really didn't have much to do with the farm, doesn't like that plan, and after dad died, is now suing the brother to get half of the farm, or to get her share of the farm. There's actually a couple other siblings in on the lawsuit as well. So you have to get your planning done when you have big farms or when you have a small farm. It doesn't matter. When you have a small place like you guys do, you still need your will, and you still need to know who gets what at the end. And even when you have kids, they will fight if one is feeling that they're being shystered out of some. And we're talking $12 million here, so it's not a small amount of money. Now, the judge has already weighed in and dismissed some of the sisters' claims, but the trial on the farm will be expected later this year. So be prepared.
But how many people, especially ones that are listening to us right now, that have to parcel out 400 acres in New Jersey, millions of dollars of farm equipment and horses, and not many people have that problem, Glenn.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter. The fight's the same, whether it's 100,000 or a million. It's just that the lawyers take a bigger share of it. Fight's still the same. Battle's still the same. Hate is still the same, and you have the family that never talks to each other is still the same. Doesn't matter the dollar.
Yeah, rate. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's right. Hey, are you a female and novice intermediate? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners right now. Okay, you just hush. Or advanced event rider. Well, do you want to know how physically fit you are? There's a college that is doing a research project. It's the University of Worcester for your fitness test. They're doing a fitness test for the different levels of eventers to find out kind of like where everybody stands as far as fitness within the different levels. I don't know what the whole deal is, but it sounds like it's pretty cool that they're going to have novice riders. You need to have better abs. Advanced riders, you guys, your balance is amazing, that kind of stuff. They're going to be, testing is going to be done by Jenny Louise Douglas as part of her PhD research program, University of Worcester. If you're close by there, then you should definitely check it out. Or if you know anybody who is, this is over in the United Kingdom. So this is for international listeners. But they're looking for female event riders age 18 above, competing at novice all the way through advanced. So apparently they're going to do a physical fitness test, which, Glenn, you would fail anyway, so it doesn't even matter. and they're going to assess aerobic fitness, stability in the core, upper body strength, balance, and reaction time. And then they're going to do a questionnaire about your riding and training tied all together. It'd be interesting to see the results to this study. And probably they're going to say that I need to work out more. I'm crystal clear on that.
Right, exactly. But so you're not going to trek across the country to do the study?
No, I can't, but I'd play along at home.
All right, remember the Pro Derby Cross happened last Friday night? We talked to Samantha and Jessica last Monday, and we were talking about it all week. And, well, the results are in now for the Pro Derby Cross. And the winning team was Karen O'Connor and Clark Montgomery's team. They actually took the win by a good margin. And over the second place team was Will Faudry's team, and Buck Davidson, and Aaron Vale was the show jumper on that team.
Bruce
Davidson was also on that team. That's right, Bruce and Buck on the same team. They came in second. Third place was Shannon Lilly and team, and also had Hannah Burnett on that team. I don't know. I don't have the results the whole way down, so I don't know how Jessica's team actually fared. I know that Jessica came in 13th in the individual standings, and individually, Buck Davidson won the night on Absolute Liberty. It's owned by Sharon Will. So Buck did a good job there. Sharon White came in second, another eventer. Marilyn Little Meredith came in third. Clark Montgomery came in fourth. And Shannon Lilly came in fifth. So that's how the results came out on the Pro Derby Cross held in Wellington last weekend.
That has to be an awesome party. I was reading some stuff about it, and like, people can bet, they bid on the team that they think is going to win. And apparently the woman who bid on Karen O'Connor's team was just trying to kind of start the bidding and get it going. And she bid $1,500 and nobody bid over her. And she was like, oh crap. I was like, I can't afford this. I can't afford to do this, but apparently they get parted like 55% of the prize money. And the person that ended up bidding was I've got it. I'm looking for it. I'll find it here. Jennifer Mosley. No, she did not buy. She bought Will Faudry's team. And who's the woman? I'm looking for the name. Anyway, so she goes and buys the team. Apparently, her truck had broke down on the way to the event. She had, like, all these problems. And then she's like, I'll just get the bidding going. It's $1,500. Jenny Brannigan, the eventer. And she was like, oh, crap. People stopped bidding.
Jenny Brannigan was the one that did the bid?
Yes. Jenny Brannigan
bid on the team. I know, Jenny. I can so see her standing up and going, I'll start, and being overly enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, it says her truck had broken down on the way there, so she was in the dealership. She was stressed out on top of everything. She was like giving Clark and Montgomery a hard time how he better do good. Well, it turns out that the whole entire thing, the 55% goes to the winning owner of the team. So she got 55% of the $22,500. Oh, my God. So she did pretty good.
Yeah. There you go. Not bad.
Yeah, Jennifer Mosley called in and bid $9,000 for a team. Boyd's team went for $4,500. So really, Jenny got a really good deal for only $1,500 to have the winning team, but apparently she was pretty panicked for a while. I thought that was pretty
She's
funny.
So cute, too. She would be cute. I could see her just panicking and jumping up and down. She's very enthusiastic. Hey, speaking of eventers, how about the weather has been unbelievable. We had a big storm in the Northeast, and now they're getting heavy rains up there. We had a long night last night here, Jamie, in Kentucky and all over the South. There were severe thunderstorms everywhere, just everywhere. And last night was loud. We had heavy rains and thunder and lightning and winds. Well, apparently over the weekend in Georgia, they have the popular place Horse Trials in Hamilton, Georgia, which you've probably ridden at one time or another, right?
Poplar Place is one of the most fun places to event because all the stalls are there together. I've competed there so many times, and it is so fun. But, yeah, Poplar Place, I'm looking at this photo. And apparently...
I was just going to say, do you know the bathrooms at Poplar Place? Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, they're very small. They're very small. And very,
well,
because at a horse trial, women get very nervous. These bathrooms are very, very stinky.
Well, apparently the riders got to spend some time in the bathrooms over the weekend because they had some very severe storms with tornado warnings. And they got all of the riders, I guess the safest place on the grounds was the bathrooms. That's their storm shelter plan. So there's a picture here of all of the female riders in the female bathroom hanging out, waiting for the storms to pass.
I have a question. It says the riders went in there. What, did the grooms and the parents and the hangers-on just have to stand out there and take their chances?
Yeah, I didn't know. I kind of thought the same thing, too. I was kind of wondering where everybody else was. Maybe they had a place for them. Maybe the riders go to the bathrooms and everybody else goes to the, to the restaurant. I don't know.
What I was wondering is if everybody goes into the bathroom to seek shelter, does the men have to stay in the men's room and do the women have to go to the women's room, or is it just like no holds barred at that point?
It kind of looks like in this picture all women in the women's room plus dogs. Dogs were allowed.
Yeah, I see dogs.
I don't know the rest of that story. By the way, this story is compliments of Eventing Nation, our friends over there. They always have the good stories like that. Hey,
yeah,
I do have some news for you real quick, too. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say the Eventing Nation also posted pictures of the dressage arena, which literally looks like a lake. Because at Poplar, it's kind of up, and then it filters down, and the dressage rings are a little bit lower. It looks like just all the water kind of ran onto that. I can't even imagine how the water jump was down on the cross-country course. My God, you'd be swimming.
You would. Hey, out of the news, out of the quarter horse world, too, they have named their 2011 World Champion Quarter Horse of the Year, and that horse's name is Cold Cash 123. And Cold Cash 123 did very well last year. Actually, let me see here, won 6 of 8 races last year, including 5 of 6 at 440 yards. Of course, quarter horses here do the sprints here in the United States. Second fastest time ever clocked for that distance. So Cold Cash actually earned $818,000 through his championship year and was named overall champion three-year-old and champion three-year-old gelding. So Cold Cash 123 is going to make is probably going to continue this year to make lots of money. So that's out of the quarter horse racing world, which we don't talk about too much. Have you ever seen quarter horse races?
Yeah, they're insane.
They're fun
so
to watch,
fast.
Aren't they? They are fun to watch.
Yeah, they really are. I don't know how anybody can bet on that. Yeah.
I know. Anything can happen.
I've got a little bit of a Facebook update for you because Susan Nelson said she spent 15 minutes last night in the closet under the stairs with 2 cats and a dog, then gave up and said it would be better to get killed by a tornado than to spend apparently more time with 2 cats and a dog under the stairs. Very funny. And then apparently Katie Livingood, when you talked about the estate planning, she said it's a very sad problem in too many families. The one closest to her is a family that doesn't even talk to one another, and the parents aren't even gone yet. So
yeah,
that is going to get even uglier as time goes on. And then Susan also posted that it's time to get serious. How can you have 22 valuable show horses and no fire alarms? They also didn't have any insurance. So they said they're just going to sell the property and move on. They're too old to start over. So very sad, and I'm glad to hear that her boarding barn has complete alarms, which are monitored. It's just the cost of doing business, she says.
All right, and there might be some good that comes out of that horrible story we had last week about this woman named LaFevre, Kelsey LaFevre. Remember the one out of Pennsylvania who was going to the Penn National Racetrack claiming to be a rescue organization that was going to retrain the horses and sell them, and then was selling them to go to slaughter, and they think there might be up to 150 horses she did this with, and she got arrested, all that. Well, there might be something good come out of that because U.S. Representative Patrick Meehan of Pennsylvania, Republican out of Pennsylvania, on Thursday urged his colleagues in the House and Senate to pass legislation to halt horse slaughter after reading this report. So it may have sparked interest again in the Senate. So if something good comes out of her total insaneness, then I'm happy for that anyway.
Todd, every time we talked about that story, it just makes me want to throw up. Just the fact that somebody could do something like that. Well, let's lighten up a little bit.
Yes.
How about before we end the show, we'll talk about Brad, Angelina, and Joe. Which one do you want to take, Glenn?
Well, I'll take Joe. You remember a while back, we've talked about both of these before on the show. We love to talk about celebrities' properties that are for sale that have a horsey, you know, have horses in or horse properties. Well, remember we talked about Joe Mantana had a vacation home that he had for sale, and he was asking $49 million for it, and it was this unbelievably beautiful place. It had 500 acres, a pool, 10,000-square-foot house. It had a skeet shooting range, an equestrian stable, beautiful fields, and
Calistoga, California.
And what made us think twice about it was 10,000-square-foot house and only had three bedrooms, which was like, I have 10,000-square-foot house. I at least want to have four or five bedrooms, you know. But anyway, he was asking $49 million. Well, after he has now reduced the price. You can get this beautiful equestrian property with a skeet shooting range and a bocce court and an olive farm for $35 million.
Wow, what
he
a
dropped
deal.
The price.
I do appreciate the fact that he asked $49 million considering he was a 49er. so that was pretty cool. But now it's probably the real price, the estimated retail price is $35
million.
What a deal.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Hey, does it surprise you? Joe Mantana played a while ago, right? He didn't play like yesterday. I didn't realize they were making that kind of money back then. But then he's been announcing and doing all kinds of stuff since then, so he's probably made a fortune since then, too.
Whew. I guarantee you that Joe Montana never pays for a drink in San Francisco. I mean, Chad has a Joe Montana jersey. I'm sure that's his idol, is Joe Montana. Every kid's idol was Joe Montana if you were at all an NFL fan when you were young. I don't know how he made all that money because, yeah, they certainly they didn't make as much back then, but who knows? Maybe he invested well.
Why don't you tell us about Brad Pitt?
Brad and Angelina, my friends, they have a beautiful home in Malibu, and you know, I told them not to sell because this is a 4,000-square-foot house built in 1962, walls of glass, bamboo flooring, fireplaces, four bedrooms, four baths, ocean view on 1.5 acres on a bluff. They got beach access, a tennis court, a lap pool. They have everything. And, when they told me they were going to sell, you know, we're like really good friends and stuff. I said, don't do it. But then somebody put in an offer on the property. And I thought, well, she's a friend of mine too, so maybe it would be okay. I could still visit the vacation home because they now sold it to Ellen DeGeneres. They finally got rid of their property. Apparently, the property was listed at $13.75 million. It was withdrawn from the listing service because, you know, Ellen doesn't want everybody to know how much she paid for Brad and Angelina's home. So they pull it off and they do like a under-the-table kind of deal. Maybe, you know, Brad and Angelina are going to just hand it off to her because they really don't need the $13.75 million. They're doing okay. Clearly, I'm being sarcastic because I do not know Brad, Angelina, or Ellen.
Now, Ellen, remember we just talked a little while ago about her equestrian property that was for sale for like $49 million. Remember,
yeah,
did they ever sell it?
Hers is $49 million, much like Joe Montana was asking $49 million, and she has reduced the asking price on her 26-acre equestrian facility to 14.9.
Ooh!
So,
Joe, you have a ways to go yet. Joe's not low enough yet. Joe, you need to drop yours. Ellen got you beat.
Okay, so we'll see who sells it first. Will it be my friend Ellen or your friend Joe to sell their equestrian estates quicker? I think Ellen has gotten a little smarter, dropped it down to 14.9. She's like, I got to move this thing because I'm buying Brad and Angelina's for $12 million.
But you know what, though? I was going to make a comment on that. When you and I buy a property, we have to worry about selling our current property, and you have to do a float loan if you haven't charged yours already, and you have to really, and the banks don't like it, and it's a pain in the neck, and sometimes you can't even do it. Obviously, Ellen doesn't have to worry about coming up with an additional $13 million before she sells her property. Not a problem.
Did you know she's been doing her show for almost 10 years, and that's the talk show, not to mention her other show and her Comedy Central specials and her touring and all that stuff. That woman is making some bank. So I don't think that, I'll just hand Brad and Angelina $12 million and, I'll just keep making the payments on my $49 million estate. No problem. And these are supposed to be our people. These people are representing us. What a lie.
Let's end on that. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everybody that commented on Facebook today. A busy day on Facebook today.
Love it, love it, love it. I'm going to go butte my horse and butte myself and maybe go take a nap.
It'll take a long, hot
everybody.
Shower.
Yeah, I'm taking a bath. I can't even stand up right now. I feel like it was in a car accident.
Nope, I'm just listening to this show.